Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Hey everyone, Pastor Greg here in Joppa, Israel for our Sunday morning message. And good morning to all of you. Why don't we pray together? Father, we're thankful for the truth of Scripture. And as I have the privilege now of standing in a place where Scripture actually happened, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts from your word today and that we will discover that you are truly a God of second chances. So bless our time in your word, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, like always, let's turn in our Bibles to, on this particular occasion, the book of Jonah. Chapter 1. The title of my message is A Second Chance in Life. I have a question for you. Have you ever run from the will of God for your life? Thinking, oh, I could never do that. Remember last Sunday we talked about spiritual gifts, what your spiritual gift may be and how to find your spiritual gift. Well, sometimes we'll say, well, Lord, you can give me this gift, but don't give me that gift. But the Lord decides what gifts he's going to give to what person. Well, I'll tell you this, after I became a believer, I sensed that God was calling me to preach. And you have to understand, I wasn't the person that got in front of crowds and just started talking. I freaked out like everybody else, and I, like most people, had a serious fear of public speaking. I was more of a behind-the-scenes guy. I like to do design and things of that nature. But I had this sneaking fear that one day God was going to call me to preach. The reason I didn't want to be a preacher was, well, let's face it, so many preachers are just weird. They're strange people. And I thought, I don't want to be that guy. I remember when I was a kid going to the beach down in Corona del Mar, in Newport Beach, I'd stand there in my board shorts and my t-shirt, and I'd see some weird preacher. He was dressed head to toe in black. He even had a wide brim black hat, and he would tell all the kids that we're all going to hell. And I thought, what is wrong with that guy? I hope I never have to do that. And so here I am, a preacher. But I think it comes down to this. It's not so much about if you have a fear of public speaking or not. The question is, do you have something to say? Well, I want to tell you a story about a man who was called to preach. We all know his story very well. His name was Jonah, and he flat out did not want to do it. You know, you may feel unqualified to serve the Lord, but listen to this. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let me say that again. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And the fact of the matter is, God is not looking for ability nearly as much as he is looking for availability. And we're going to look at this man, Jonah, that actually came to this very place I'm in. This is Joppa. This is a city that goes back hundreds of years. In fact, this city has been sacked and rebuilt more times than almost any city in all of ancient Israel. This city has been ruled by the Egyptians, the Phoenicians, the Persians, the Greeks. Herod was in control of it at one point, as were the Romans, the Crusaders. Even Napoleon's armies came here at one time and ruled over Joppa. So did Alexander the Great. It's here in Joppa we remember the biblical story of Simon Peter at the house of Simon the Tanner. Now, being Simon the Tanner, that does not mean that he's just like the sunbathe. What it meant was a tanner, he dealt with leather. You know, he made things out of leather. So one day, Simon Peter is here, right here in Joppa, on a rooftop. When you look around, you'll see a lot of the homes live on their roofs as well as in the home. And so he is up there, and it's lunchtime, and he falls asleep. Sounds like me, falling asleep around lunchtime. And he has a vision. And in this vision, a giant sheet is lowered from heaven somewhere around here. A giant sheet. And in this sheet are all the little creatures that a good Jewish boy was told to not eat of, things that were forbidden under the Mosaic law. And he heard the voice say, kill and eat. Peter said, I've never eaten anything that is unclean. And the voice said, it was the voice of God, by the way. The Lord said to him, don't call unclean what I've called clean. There are men downstairs waiting to speak with you. Well, here's what was going on. There was a man named Cornelius over in a place called Caesarea. He was a fearer of God. He didn't know Jesus yet, but being a pagan man, a Roman, he did not embrace the false gods of Rome. He believed in the God of Israel. He treated people well. He was seeking God. And God promises, those that seek me will find me. An angel of the Lord appears to Cornelius and says, you need to send some guys to get Simon Peter, and he's going to tell you what you need to know. So meanwhile, Peter, after his vision, comes downstairs. Here are these guys that had come to grab him and take him back to Cornelius. And this whole story resulted in the conversion of Cornelius. Now let's parallel that with the story of Jonah, because Joppa is a place where God spoke to people to leave their comfort zone and take the gospel to people they did not necessarily want to take the gospel to. Are you willing to leave your comfort zone and do the same? Simon Peter, being a good Jewish man, did not really want to take the gospel to the non-Jews or the Gentiles, but the Lord showed him here in Joppa that he was supposed to do that. Well, now we come to the more well-known story associated with Joppa, and that is the story of Jonah. Now, immediately when you say the name Jonah, you think of Jonah and the whale. Actually, I don't know if you know this, but there's a worm in the story of Jonah too. That comes at the end. You don't hear a lot of sermons about Jonah and the worm, but you do hear about Jonah and the whale. There's only three verses in the Bible about the whale. That is not the focus of the story. It is not the direction of the story, but it plays a part in the story. But it's a ridiculed story. I think of all the stories in the Bible, more people probably ridicule the story of Jonah being swallowed by a whale than any other. I've told you the story before of a young lady who was out on the street sharing the gospel. And there was a crowd that gathered around to listen to her. And there was an atheist standing there, and he was sort of to the back of the crowd. And after she had spoken a little bit, the atheist man said, excuse me, young lady, I have a question for you. She said, yes. He said, you believe in the Bible, right? She said, oh, yes, I believe that the Bible is the word of God. Oh, he said, then you must believe every story that's in the Bible, right? She said, every story, yes, I believe it. Oh, is that so? Said the atheist. Then you must believe the story of Jonah being swallowed by a whale. She said, yes, sir, I believe that story. Well, tell me, young lady, how did that even happen physically? How is it even possible a person could be swallowed by a whale and live to tell the story? She said, sir, I have no idea. But when I get to heaven, I will ask God how. And he said, oh, well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? She said, well, then you can ask him. So I believe the book of Jonah is true for a few reasons. Number one, it's in the Bible. And I believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Here's an interesting thought. Jonah wrote the book of Jonah. Why is that significant? Because he throws himself under the bus in the last chapter and shows how insensitive and selfish he was even after God sent a spiritual awakening. That just shows me the authenticity of the book. Number two, Jesus authenticated the story. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, or the whale, if we want to call it that, so will the Son of Man, speaking of himself, be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. So not only did Jesus use the story of Jonah and validate it, but he used it to illustrate his own death on the cross. So let's read together from Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, that's where I am right now, he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship, and as you can see, this is still a seaport with lots of boats, lots of ships here. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So the Lord said to Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. Jonah's like, no. And he comes down here. It's a seaport, always has been a seaport. That's why all these various civilizations conquered it, because you had access to boats, bringing materials in, bringing troops in, bringing other people in. So he comes to this seaport and he says, let's see, what place is as far as possible from Nineveh? Oh, that would be Tarshish. And he pays the fare and gets on the boat. He paid the fare. Know this, it's very expensive to sin. Listen to this. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. Notice that it says he went down to Joppa and he went down to a boat. Listen to this. Every step away from God is a step down. First, Jonah went down to Joppa. Then he went down into the ship. Then he went down into the sea. And then he went down into the fish's belly, which went down to the depths of the sea. Down, down, down. Listen to this. Sin is a downer. And whenever you're running from God, you're going down, baby. I suggest you not go in that trajectory. So he went down. But God will always have the last word. God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, oh. So he gets on this little boat. Off they go. Maybe it was a calm day like it is today. Beautiful weather. Hey, this is going to be a great journey. I'm done with Nineveh. I don't have to deal with it. Everything's good. But the Bible says in Jonah 1:4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. So the ship was about to be broken up, and the mariners were afraid, and everyone cried out to his God. So these sailors on board this ship, seasoned sailors, I'm sure, were freaking out. Because this was a storm like they'd never seen before. They're trying to figure out why this storm has happened. So they're calling on their various gods. And clearly nobody has the right God because the storm is getting worse. And they say, hey, there's that new guy on board. Who is that guy? Amazingly, Jonah's underneath the top deck sleeping. They bring him up, say, you know, what's going on? Pray to your God. And Jonah said, well, I am a Hebrew. And I serve God, the God who made everything. You mean, they ask, your God brought this storm? Yeah, he did. And they're basically saying, why would you run from a God this powerful? You know, sometimes non-believers have a better idea of God than some believers have. Sometimes non-believers have a better idea of how a Christian should behave than Christians have. But Jonah owned up to it. Let's give him credit where credit is due. He was running from God, but he admitted he was running from God, and God used his flawed testimony, shall we say. And actually, after he told them the storm would stop if they would throw him overboard, and it did, they all turned to God and believed in him. Reminds me of a story from a number of years ago about my wife, Kathy. Kathy became a Christian when she was 14 years old. And she had an amazing transformation by Christ. And believe it or not, even at that young age, she had already been getting into drugs and getting into a lot of trouble. But she sort of drifted away and stopped going to church and stopped reading her Bible. And one day she was sitting with one of her friends who was not a believer. And they saw some Christians walk by carrying their Bibles. And Kathy said, oh, yeah, I used to be into that. I used to be a Christian. And her friend said, you were? She said, oh yeah, I had a Bible and we went to church. And I have to tell you, it was wonderful. I had a peace inside of my heart and God was at work and he was changing me. And it was just fantastic. And her friend said, well, why did you walk away from it? Kathy said, actually, I'm not really sure why I did. And her friend said, how can I become a Christian? So Kathy told her friend how to accept Christ. And then she ended up leading her friend to the Lord. So here's my point. Here's Kathy, not even walking with the Lord at the moment, who talks to a lady that doesn't know the Lord and ends up leading her to the Lord. And Kathy made a rededication at the same time. That's the story of what happened with Jonah. He's running from God. These guys call him out. He tells them what's happening. He tells them it's the power of God. And they end up turning to the Lord. So they throw him overboard. And we read he was swallowed by a great fish. Now, this is very important. The Bible never says Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I'm not saying he wasn't swallowed by a whale. Maybe he was. As an example, a sperm whale can grow very large, over 50 feet. They've cut open sperm whales and found 40-foot-long giant shrimp weighing 440 pounds, not shrimp, squid. That'd be a pretty big shrimp. No, squid weighing 440 pounds. So the point is, could a man fit into the stomach of a sperm whale? Yes, it's like a small appetizer. By the way, this is sushi eating in reverse. Instead of man eating fish, fish is eating man, right? All Jonah needed was some soy sauce and wasabi. Or maybe that's all the fish needed. Actually, the word that is used in the Bible for this fish is great fish, or another translation is sea monster. So it may have been a creature that exists today, like a whale. It may have been a creature that was a one-off creation God made just to accommodate Jonah. It may be a sea creature that is extinct today. I really don't think it's a big deal, quite honestly. As I already said, the focus of the book of Jonah is not about the whale or the great fish. It's about God. We spend too much time talking about the great fish, and we don't talk about the great God of the story. Here's the real message of the book of Jonah. God gives second chances, and because Jonah finally got around to obeying the Lord, probably the greatest spiritual awakening in human history took place. So Jonah's thrown over the side of the boat. Again, remember, tumultuous ocean, waves pitching overhead. He didn't know great fish was going to swallow him. He just thought, I'm dead. That's it. I disobeyed God, and this is what happens. And this creature just swallows him whole. And now he is inside of the belly of this massive beast. You know, storms come into our lives as Christians. And I'll use the word storm as a metaphor. A calamity, a hardship, a medical issue, a marital problem, a legal issue, the list goes on. Maybe you're in a storm right now. As I've told you before, there are three kinds of storms. That's two, three. Three kinds of storms we face as Christians. There are protecting storms, correcting storms, and perfecting storms. A perfecting storm is when God allows hardship in your life to make you stronger spiritually. Job went through a perfecting storm. The Bible says the testing of your faith produces endurance, and God allows it so you will grow stronger spiritually. Maybe you're in a perfecting storm. Here's the good news about storms. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Maybe your storm has been raging for a while, but you know what? You might be at the end of it. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. And then there are protecting storms. That's the kind of storm that the disciples experienced when they were on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus had just performed his most popular miracle to date, the feeding of 5,000. They love that miracle because, hey, raising people from the dead, awesome. Restoring sight and hearing, incredible. Free lunch, now we're talking. So, you know, everyone had this great meal and we read in the Bible, they wanted to make him king by force. Sort of like, you're gonna be our king if you wanna be or not. Jesus said to his disciples, get into the boat, we're headed out of here. He delivered his disciples from what would have been a lot of adulation and would have created a lot of problems. It was a protecting storm. But then there's correcting storms. These are storms we effectively bring upon ourselves, where we reap the consequences of our actions. Jonah was in a correcting storm. It was his fault. He brought it on himself. And now he is in the belly of this massive creature. But the Bible tells us he prayed from the fish's belly. It reminds us that you can basically pray anywhere or in any position. You can pray publicly. You can pray privately. You can pray verbally. You can pray silently. You can pray with your eyes closed. You can pray with your eyes open. You know, we have a tradition where we close our eyes when we pray. That's a good thing. Sort of takes other things out of our view. We can focus. But have you ever been praying with some people and maybe you open your eyes and somebody else is opening their eyes and you make eye contact? You're sort of embarrassed, sort of like you're cheating in prayer. It's okay. You can open your eyes when you pray. You can pray anywhere. You can pray in a church. You can pray in a street corner. You can pray driving your car. Just keep your eyes open. In the Bible, Daniel prayed in a lion's den. David prayed in a field. Peter prayed on the water. Excuse me. Then he prayed under the water. And where did Jonah pray? He prayed in the gut of a sea monster. And guess what? His prayer was heard. Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. So let's look at the prayer of Jonah now for a few moments. Turn over to Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. And he said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the world of the dead, O Lord, and you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down into the heart of the sea. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. And then I said, Lord, you've driven me from your presence. Will I ever again see your holy temple? I sank beneath the waves and death was very near. The waters closed in around me. The seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank to the very roots of the mountains. I was locked out of life and imprisoned in the land of the dead. Yet, Lord, you have snatched me from the yawning jaws of death. Listen to this in verse 7 of Jonah 2. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Now he has sort of a little conclusion. Jonah says, those who worship false gods and turn their backs on God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifice with songs of praise and fulfill my vows, for salvation comes from the Lord alone. I want you to notice something. Jonah prayed the word of God 8 times in his prayer. In the fish's belly, wrapped in seaweed, he quoted scripture. And specifically, he quoted from the Psalms. And I think it's a really good idea when you pray to quote the Bible. You say, why? Does God need to hear his own word? No, but you do, and I do. For instance, let's say I'm sick. So instead of just saying, oh Lord, heal me, I'll instead say, Lord, you've told me in scripture that if there's any sick among us, we should call for the elders of the church that will pray for such a person. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man will accomplish much. So Lord, based on that, I ask you to heal me. Or Lord, I have a financial need. So instead of saying, Lord, provide for me financially, I would say, Father, you've promised in scripture that you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So because of that promise, I pray this. See, it shows that Jonah had memorized the Bible. He had it in his heart. And that's a very good thing to do. Take time to memorize scripture. But here's another thing about Jonah we don't want to miss. He was beginning to lose hope. Because in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, he says, when I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. He was beginning to lose hope. You know, there's a lot of people in our culture today that are starting to lose hope. They say that one of the reasons that suicides are so high is because people have lost hope. I hope you're not losing hope. I don't know what kind of a situation that you're in right now, but don't give up. You're going to get through whatever you're going through. I love the acronym HOPE, H-O-P-E, holding on with patient expectation. So I'm encouraging you to hold on. Hey, if God got Jonah out of a fish's belly after he'd been wrapped in seaweed, God can get you out of whatever you're facing right now. And so he called on the Lord. I want you to notice something. Jonah did not have any promise of being delivered from the belly of the beast, but he gave thanks to the Lord while he was there. Jonah 2:9, I'll offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. I'll fulfill my vow. Maybe you're going through a hard time right now and you say, I don't feel like giving thanks to God. I'll give thanks to God when I get through my problem. No, give thanks to God now. Remember when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel? And what did we read? At midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises to God. The Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. It does not say, give thanks to the Lord only when you feel good, or give thanks to the Lord when circumstances are good. No, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So whatever you're going through right now, don't lose hope and give thanks to God. God's in control. God is sovereign. And God's going to get you through whatever you're facing. Okay, so this message is about second chances. There's one final movement in our story. Look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. So God spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will give you. Listen to this. God gave Jonah a second chance. Jonah experienced a personal revival in the belly of the great fish. And then God used him to bring, as I said earlier, probably the greatest revival in human history in the wicked city of Nineveh. The reason Jonah did not want to preach to the Ninevites is because they were just horrible people. And they would just torture people they would conquer. They would tear the skin off of people's bodies, and they would bury them up to their heads in the sand and leave them to die in the sun. They would gouge out their eyes. They would take their skulls and stack them in monuments. They were crazy. They were worse than Nazis or ISIS. Evil on another level. So God says, go preach to Jonah or Nineveh. go preach to Nineveh. That's Jonah preaching in Nineveh. Anyway, yeah, go preach there. He's like, no way. Why? Because he didn't want them to repent. He wanted them to face judgment. But God changed his heart in the belly of the beast. He had a revival, then he brought a revival. Listen to this. Nothing can happen through you until it first happens to you. Maybe you need a personal revival. I know Jonah did, and God gave him a second chance. The Bible's filled with the stories of people that God gave second chances to. We all know how David fell into a sin of adultery with Bathsheba, how he tried to cover it up, having her husband Uriah effectively murdered. But the Lord gave to David a second chance. We all know the story of Samson, the he-man with his she-weakness, almost like a superhero, except he was surreal. He could vanquish his enemies in battle. He killed 1,000 Philistines on one occasion with a bone he picked up off the ground. The guy was amazing. But he had a vulnerability and with women, and of course, the devil got him through the wicked Delilah. And Samson's strength was symbolized by his long hair. By the way, the Bible never says he was physically buff. You know, it's interesting because it says that of David and of Joseph, but not of Samson. What if he was a scrawny little dude and it was just supernatural power? I don't know. Whatever it was, I know this. His strength was symbolized by his long hair. He didn't have strength in long hair, because if you had strength from long hair, I would be in serious trouble, right? No, but the hair was a symbol of his commitment to God. So when Delilah cut off his hair, he had no strength left. But the second chance story of Samson is, the Bible says, the hair of his head began to grow again. I don't know what you're going through right now. You've messed up. You say, there's no hope for me. Well, listen, God can give second chances. So Jonah repents. Here comes the whale. All this time he's been moving. Not in the direction he wanted to move. That whale's not headed to Tarshish. From the get-go, it seems to me, that whale was headed destination Nineveh, because that's where God called him. So the whale cruises up to the shore. He opens up his mouth and he regurgitates Jonah. So Jonah was now believing and barfed, righteous and ralphed. He was now called again to bring the message. And he did. And a revival happened. And I wonder if God's not calling some of us today to leave our comfort zones and go to people we don't want to go to. Just remember, everyone is loved by God. Aren't you glad someone prayed for you? Even when you were hard against the Lord, you may have resisted it, but they kept praying for you, and now here you are believing. You know people like this as well. Let me conclude with this thought. Jesus himself took the story of Jonah to illustrate his death and resurrection. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said this in response to the Pharisees that said, show us a miracle, do a sign, do something to impress us. He says, no sign will be given to you because a wicked generation seeks after a sign. The only sign you guys are getting is, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish, I'll be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I think sometimes we may think, oh man, if I could just perform miracles, everybody would believe. Not necessarily. Jesus performed many miracles. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Did everyone believe after that? No. Not only did they not believe, they plotted on how they could kill Lazarus again. Poor guy. Now, here's the point. What's our sign to our culture today? Our sign, if you will, our message is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, and still able to change human hearts. Jesus Christ, who can bring hope to the hopeless. Jesus Christ, who can bring a second chance to the person who needs it. As I wrap up this message in the ancient seaport city of Joppa, where Jonah ran to try to escape from the Lord, can I remind you of this? You cannot get away from God, and you should not want to. You can go no place where the Lord is not there before you. And to me, it's reassuring to know that wherever I go in life or whatever I face in life, God is with me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Don't try to run from God. Instead, run to God. And if you need a second chance today, why don't we pray together? And let me lead you in a prayer where you're asking God for a second chance. Maybe some of you have never believed in Jesus Christ yet. You don't know him as your Savior and Lord. Why don't you pray with me today and make that commitment to Jesus, okay? Let's all bow our heads and pray together. Father, first of all, I want to pray for any person that is watching this or listening to this, wherever they may be. If they don't have a relationship with you, if they don't know you, help them to see their need for Jesus and that they can be forgiven and they can find the hope they're looking for in life. You know, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're praying, if you need this relationship with Jesus, why don't you just pray this simple prayer after me? You could pray it out loud if you like. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I know you're the Savior and you died on the cross for my sin. I turn from that sin and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. And Father, we pray that you will extend a second chance to anybody listening now that needs one. They've messed up. Help them to get up again and learn from their mistakes and move forward. And Lord, I pray you will restore hope to anyone that has lost it. We thank you that you keep your promises as we're reminded from this very spot and I'm standing in now, this place called Joppa. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.